Hello, everybody. You are listening to Corpse Run Radio. This is Ian Hazzikostas, and enjoy.
Children of the grave, heed my call. Come and join me, or feel my wrath. For we are the Forsaken. I am your queen, and this is Corpse Run Radio.
This is Corpse Run Radio.
We are the Forsaken.
We are the Forsaken.
Hello, everyone. This is episode 39 of Corpse Run Radio. Today's episode is going to be a little shorter than usual, but I really think that episode 41 is going to make up for all the shortcomings of the episode today. And maybe next week's won't be as long as you're used to either. But like I said, trust me when I say that episode 41, which is going to be released on launch day, August 13th, that will make up for so many things. It might even be the longest episode we've ever had, so be prepared to get an episode that might break the 2-hour mark. I know that it's not for everyone, these long episodes, that a segment shouldn't be beyond a certain time limit, and now and again it's just unavoidable that either it's a little too long, then that's kinda okay. On the other hand, if I chop them up into two parts, those parts I have to find the right moment to chop it up, and then it's like they're kind of too short. So sometimes it's like the 30-minute mark that's really stretching it. But trust me when I say that the launch episode is going to be something you don't want to miss. It has a novelty in it. That's all I'm going to say for now. More on it in episode 40. I might hint at some of the content then, but for now, that's all I'm gonna say. So let's get on with the show. Today we have Noble 87 with the second part of the story of Varrok Sarfang. We have Kavo with his parody Reign of Fire. We have Hazelnutty Games with 37 easiest WoW toys, vendor toys for gold. We have Charm, too many alts, I'm done. And I must say, the alts, they broke Legion for me, because the artifacts that we had to get that were required, you couldn't just go out and kill something and then loot a weapon. You had to get this weapon, go through a quest chain and all that, and then you had to keep this weapon and modify it using the relics and so forth. In my opinion, that was all unfriendly from the get-go, and I'm happy that they got rid of it. Now we are going to have the Heart of Azeroth in Battle for Azeroth, but that's one item that you get once you do the initial quest chain to get to your respective islands, like Zandalar and Kol-Tiras. So it's a flow reward, a reward for a flowing quest chain that you inevitably have to do on every tune to progress, to get access to the new content, to the new area. So it's not like you have to go and beyond getting to Dalaran like we had before, where you had to go to Karazhan and then jump on the ship and then destroy the ship and go back to old Dalaran to get to new Dalaran, and then on top of that you had to go and get your individual items, your artifacts. So this is much more practical in my opinion. Granted, there are the Azerite armor pieces, but that's like nothing. That's more, I would call them, they're more in line with the legendary items that we have now. So they're not in the same way obtainable through quest chains, but rather through drops. Okay, enough talking from me. The last I mentioned was Charm with her too many odds, I'm done. And then Our last segment of the episode is slightly impressive with a problematic look at warriors. I hope you enjoyed this episode, so let's get going.
Hello everyone. Last week, we began the story of Varrok Sorfang, where we talked about the formation of the Horde, the invasion of Azeroth, his time dealing with the ghost of the past, and of course, the massive loss that he faced while in Northrend, losing his son to the Lich King. Garrosh Hellscream was appointed Warchief of the Horde, and although it first seemed like he took Saurfang's lessons to heart, he changed rather quickly with Mr. Pandaria, where he first tossed Krumgar off a cliff for bombing innocents, children even, and forsaking his honor. With Mist, he seems to have forgotten about all of that, as he now too drops a mana bomb of Feramor and even uses his dark shamans to twist the elements. Elements still healing from the events of the Cataclysm, and slowly but surely, the Horde realized that something had to be done. As we went further through Pandaria, Vol'jin eventually figured out that Garrosh was planning to use the power of the Mogu to shape flesh and build warriors. Playing God and making monsters, this is not what the Horde is about, the troll believes, but speaking out has the other orc slice his throat. He would spend some time healing and recovering to eventually return and lead the Darkspear Rebellion, the Horde rising up against the Warchief. And while some orcs, like Nazgrim, believed that the will of the Warchief was absolute, other orcs did not agree. Thrall himself even came back to deal with the mess that he'd left behind. After Vol'jin's return, he teams up with Saurfang to infiltrate Orgrimmar, while the rest of the forces, they quickly follow. At the gates, they're stopped by Korkron troops, but Nazgrim is kind enough to send them away and he lets them in. He of course has a lot of respect for Thrall and Saurfang, but he's still unwilling to break his oath to the Warchief. We're forced to take Nazgrim down as we siege Orgrimmar, and in the rough-hewn passage, on the way to the Paragons of the Cluxy, we meet up with Saurfang, who's been kicking some serious buck butts.
Ah, more of Vol'jin's revolutionaries. You've made it. Have you found Thrall? I am badly hurt. He insisted on going ahead alone. Tell me, how goes the battle up above? What of Nazgrim? Speak to me! Ah, Nazgrim, a great leader and a fine warrior. He valued his oath to the Warchief more than his life. I tried to tell him that Hellscream betrayed us, cast aside a Warchief's responsibility to his own people. But Nazgrim, too loyal, too proud. Damn Hellscream. His ambition tore our Horde apart. Go on, find Thrall. Finish this. I will live.
Like he promised Garrosh and Northrend, he helped out with bringing the Warchief down that tried to lead the Horde down a very dark path once again. His vision is not what they believe the Horde is about. Vol'jin is appointed as the new Warchief, but instead of executing Garrosh, they decided to place him on trial in Pandaria. For this trial, there had to be a defender and an accuser. Tyrande Whisperwind was appointed as the accuser for the Alliance, but the Horde planned to have Bane Bloodhoof as his defender. Of course, Bane couldn't believe his ears. Garrosh was the one who'd killed his father. How could he be his defender? But even Saurfang agreed that he was the right choice.
Make them listen,
came a voice that had so far been quiet. It was deep, strong despite age, and a sharp thread of pain went through it.
There's no challenge in flinging a list of atrocities at Garrosh's head, said Saurfang. The test will be who can make the judge and jury truly listen. To hear you speak for calm consideration when all know how you suffer. Only you, Bane Bloodhoof, you can do that.
And so it was that Bane accepted this very difficult job, and during the trial, they showed visions related to Garrosh, visions from witnesses who knew him in life. Saurfang himself was questioned, and at first, Tyrande planned to show the vision of his son's death at the Wrath Gates, but Bane protests, not wanting the old veteran to relive that pain. Even Taranzu agrees that Varrok is a respected war hero and has undergone great loss, but he does not see how that has a bearing on the interactions with Garrosh. It's not like the Lich King's on trial here. Color rose in Tyrande's cheeks. She withdrew her request and offers apologies to the witness if it disturbed him. Instead, she went for the vision of Garrosh and Saurfang talking with each other in Northrend, the veteran warning the hothead that if he would take the Horde down a dark path once again, he would personally take him out. Bane gets to question him and asks if Saurfang believes that Garrosh did indeed take them down the dark path. The orc does, of course, which is why he took up arms against him. But surprisingly, he does not want to see Garrosh executed.
Garrosh was not always as you see him now. He was, as I have said, reckless and impulsive. But I once would never have doubted his loyalty to the Horde. And even now, I do not doubt his loyalty to his people. But his crimes must be addressed. I vow to kill him, and I would still uphold that vow. But I would not surrender him to others for execution. I would challenge him myself, Imdemakura.
Do you think he deserves a second chance?
If he defeated me, yes. That is the way of the orcs. The true way. Honor.
Bane could barely believe what he was hearing. I do not wish to misunderstand you, so forgive my repetition. You do not want Garrosh executed by the courts, but rather wish to challenge him in honorable combat? And if he won that combat, you would see him forgiven?
He would need to earn his reputation back, given that he has ripped it to shreds and trampled it into the angry earth.
Sourfang snapped.
But yet, if he were a victor, then he should have that chance. He had honor once. He could learn it again.
Bane could barely refrain from letting out a shout of delight. This he understood. This he could support. And moreover, it was fair. He thought of his father dying in the Makura and how Cairn would have approved and knew in his heart that he was on the proper track. Despite his anger towards Garrosh, Bane was in truth doing the right thing. He gave Taronda a triumphant look and announced that he had no further questions. And to his surprise pleasure, neither did Taronda. In the end, the trial itself didn't matter much for the fate of Garrosh, considering that the Bronze Dragon Kaidos Dormu, he helped him escape and he took him back in time to an alternate reality. He and Raffion had come up with the idea to have Garrosh lead a new horde, a horde that could support us against the coming Legion threats. But things didn't go exactly as planned. Garrosh murdered Kairos as soon as they arrived. He made contact with the alternate version of his father, and together they formed the Iron Horde. One that did refuse the demon blood offered by Gul'dan, but also one still very keen on invading Azeroth, with the Dark Portal turning red. Alliance and Horde were called to battle once more and ventured through the Dark Portal. Garrosh would indeed find his end in Makura, not with Sourfang but with Thrall, while Varrok's role during the expansion, that was simply to show up in the Horde garrison and offer a variety of quests for the general. For a small time, they could even ask the legendary orc to join them on patrol, but that was apparently a bug and quickly hotfixed out of fear that High Overlord Sourfang would cleave the garrison in half. Interesting to note is that we do see alternate versions of characters like Durotan, Gromash, and Orgrim, but there's no alternate version of Sourfang. Guess they wanted to give us a chance of actually winning the war against the Iron Horde, which we did of course. We dismantled the Iron Horde and we took away Gromash's power, which Gul'dan used to his advantage as he offered the demon blood once again. This time, some of the orcs did accept. They even managed to summon Archimonde into the world, and in his final moments, Archimonde sends Gul'dan over to our reality to kick off another invasion from the Legion. At the Tomb of Sargeras, he opened up a massive rift for the Legion to come through, and once more, Alliance and Horde had to team up and deal with the demonic threats. Sylvanas Windrunner and Varian Wrynn, they led the charge, but things didn't exactly work out. It was a death trap waiting to be sprung. The Horde was overwhelmed, Vol'jin mortally wounded, and they were forced to retreat. The Alliance down below, they saw the Horde abandon them and were forced to do the same, but Gul'dan wasn't about to let his prey run away unharmed. Varian sacrificed himself so that the rest of them could escape, while Vol'jin's wounds ultimately took his life as well. Back in Orgrimmar, Sourfang, now warchief of the orcs and commander of the city's defenses, he lets heroes in to witness the final moments of their warchief.
Come forward.
Warchief.
The lower spirits say death will claim me soon.
In the end, death claims us all. But the Horde will live on.
I have never trusted you. Nor would I have ever imagined, in our darkest time, that you would be the one to save us. The spirits have granted me clarity, a vision. They whisper a name. Many will not understand. shadows and lead. You must be Warteeth.
While some would have loved to see an orc like Sourfang become the Warchief, it's the name Sylvanas that the spirits whisper to Fulgin. Under her leadership, the Horde moves out to claim vengeance for his death, stop the Legion threats, and of course, Sourfang is right there with them. He was present, defending against the Legion invasions of the Northern Barons, but Eitrick notices that Sourfang is not the same ever since their loss at the Broken Shore. Though he led well and slew many, he has taken our defeat hard. Eitrick fears that he's determined to return to the Broken Shore, and he asks warriors to go and speak with him in Dalaran.
I'll wager Eitrick sent you. His concern is noble, but unnecessary. Death is our likely end on those shores. You know this, yet I can see the determination in your eyes. Perhaps you have honor to regain there as well.
Sourfang is indeed very angry, but he does not chase his own death. All he wants is to regain a bit of honor and slay the demon still drunk in a victory. We join him on his spare mount, but the Legion, they're not defenseless, of course, and they shoot us out of the sky.
Make them pay, champion! Make them pay!
Don't worry though, it will take a little bit more to kill someone like Sourfang, as our journey takes us to the very Halls of Valor, where we meet up with Odin and work on our order hall in claiming mighty artifacts to use in his war against the Legion. Master Smith Helgar is kind enough to help us with empowering the artifacts, but the Valajar is in need of inspiration. He's looking for an axe whose forms has seen a truly astounding amount of battle, wielded by one of the most powerful warriors in the world. Both weapon and owner forged together in the crucible of war, we need to find this hero and convince them to come to the Halls of Valor. One name, of course, immediately comes to mind. Varrok Sourfang and his Arcanite Reaper. You are one of the greatest warriors that the Horde has ever fielded. Your Arcanite Reaper is feared by all your foes.
I do not do what I do for praise. I am here to save Azeroth and the Horde. I sense you have a purpose here. What do you want?
We tell him of Helgar's request, and Sourfang is honored that we think so highly of him. It's true, he has seen no small amount of battle, but so have we. It's time to see how far we've come, as we get the opportunity to duel with him ourselves. In the Circle of Glory, the legendary orc shows us just what an honorable, experienced, mighty orc can do. A weapon is only as good as its wielder, as once upon a time Broxigar showed us with the Axe of Cenarius. And while Sourfang's weapon was not forged with the help of a wild god, it is still very impressive. After winning the duel, or some might say after Sourfang allows us to win, Helgar inspects both wielder and weapon together. The scratches on the blade, the wear on the haft tell of battle stresses and where it is hit most often. See how easily you balance the heft. The comfort of your grip shows years of experience. While that can never be forged, he can improve a new weapon in the right places, so its wearer will strike more true and lives to earn those years. It shows that even a Valajar can learn from the younger races, as we earn the right to wield the Arcanite Bladebreaker. With our mighty artifacts, we stood against the might of the Legion. We even went to the world of Argus and stopped Sargeras from destroying our worlds. He was able to leave us with a little parting gift. A massive blade now rests within Silphus, and the world of Azeroth is wounded.
Warchief, if I may offer a few words. It is with both pain and pride that we gather here today. Pain, for many brave heroes of the Horde fell against a terrible foe. And pride, for against all odds, we have vanquished the Legion. We bled, now we heal. We mourned, now we celebrate. For the Horde!
For the Horde!
I'm up on the living dead in that day, Leto.
War Chief! A moment of your time.
No doubt Gallywix wants to push his latest money-grubbing scheme. rats scurry about their business.
And get eaten if they're not careful. Does keep sending more goblins to Silithus.
Nothing good has ever come out of Silithus.
This will change everything.
I told you!
And the Alliance knows nothing of this.
Don't worry, War Chief. I got people on it.
And that's pretty much where we're at when it comes to Saurfang's story. He remembers the days of leading the forces in Silithus during Classic, and he does not believe that going back there is a good idea. The Horde still moves out to mine Azerite, the crystallized blood of the Titan spirit inside the world, and despite Galliwix telling his warchief not to worry about it, the Alliance, of course, discovers what the Horde is doing, and they move into Silithus as well. They too follow the trail of Azerite. Only time will tell what the story is going to bring next, but I do want to talk a little bit about the hints that we have, a little bit about the information that we know, and speculate on what might come. So if you don't want any spoilers, then this will be the time to turn off the video. For those interested, at the last BlizzCon, they handed out a short preview of the upcoming novel written by Christy Golden, which is called Before the Storm. Sylvanas Windrunner, former Ranger General Silvermoon, the Dark Lady of the Forsaken, and present Warchief of the Mighty Horde, and resented being told to come to Orgrimmar like a dog that needed to perform all of its tricks. She had wanted to return to the Undercity. She missed its shadows, its dampness, its restful quietude. Rest in peace, she thought grimly, and had to smother a smile. It faded almost at once as she continued pacing impatiently in the small chamber behind the Warchief throne in Gromash Holds. A few years ago, Garrosh Hellscream had pushed to have a massive celebration in Orgrimmar to commemorate the end of the Northrend campaign. He wasn't Warchief. Not then. There had been a parade of every veteran who wished to participate, their paths strewn with important pine boughs, and a gigantic feast awaited them at the end of the rout. Awards had been distributed, and the inns of the city flung open without limits to those who had fought for the Hordes. It had been extravagant and expensive, and Sylvanas initially had no intention of following in the footsteps of Hellscream in not just this situation, but in any. He had been arrogant, brutal, impulsive. Sylvanas had loathed him and had secretly conspired, unsuccessfully regrettably, to kill him, even after he'd been arrested and charged with his war crimes. His decision to attack Feramore with a devastating mana bomb had to stop for races wrestling with their consciences. The only thing that had troubled Sylvanas about it had been the orc's timing. When at last, inevitably, Garrosh had been killed, Sylvanas was pleased, though she still harbored regrets that she had not been the one to take his life. Varrok Saurfang, the leader of the orcs, and Bane Bloodhoof, chieftain of the Tauren, had borne no love for Garrosh either. But they pushed Sylvanas to make an appearance and at least some kind of gesture to mark the end of this war. Brave members of this horde you lead fought and died to make sure the Legion did not destroy this world, as it had so many others, the young bullet intoned. He had been but one step away from openly rebuking her. Sylvanas recalled Saurfang's thinly veiled warning. Frets? You are the leader of all the hordes. Orcs, Tauren, Trolls, Blood Elves, Goblins, as well as the Forsaken. You must never forget that, or else they might. What I will not forget, Orc, she thought, eye rising in her new, are those words. So from this we learn that Sylvanas has no problem with the tactics used by Garrosh, more so with the timing of it all, and Saurfang reminds her that she now leads more than just the Forsaken. She is the Warchief and should be there for all of them, while at the same time, her Forsaken, resurrected with free will, they feel like she left them without leaving someone behind to care for them. In response, a new organization has formed called the Desolate Council, one that does not agree with the Banshee Queen's plans of trying to stay alive forever. They don't
know what it exactly is that they do want then. All they know is that a new faction has risen up, the disadvantage of giving them free will. Two sides, both wanting more from her, while she herself still sees the Forsaken as her people, not the entirety of the Hordes. All the same, she must keep up appearance, as she's going to need the brave fighters of the Horde for yet another battle. This one is one that she and Nathanos have both longed for, the attack on Stormwind. That is where the preview ends, and is my hope that the story is going to revolve around Sylvanas, starting out at the point where she didn't even want to be Warchief, right? That is where they're going to begin with, but she'll make use of the situation and use the Horde as she pleases. She right now doesn't see all the races as her people, but perhaps in the events of the storyline, it will teach her more about what it means to be for the Horde, and not just go with her old motivation of staying alive. That's just a hope though. Like I said, the story hasn't been revealed yet. Now another bit of information that we learned from BlizzCon and a couple of interviews is that Tel Drassil is going to be burned down by the Horde, which then leads into the Siege of Lordaeron. That sexy Battle for Azor cinematic that we have, that follows the burning of the Night Elf's home. We also have two pictures of that event. First, there's a blue one. Tel Drassil is still standing, and we see, presumably, Sylvanas, Nathanos, and Saurfang with an unknown elf on the ground. Weapons, a bit of flame in the forefront, presumably a battle that took place here, and the elf is not looking too good, considering what's pierced in their back. The next picture then has Sylvanas standing by herself, the elf now leaning and gazing upon the destruction. The fire in the front is gone, the tree is now ablaze, while Saurfang and Nathanos, they no longer stand at the Warchief's side, they possibly set sail with one of the ships. It's anyone's guess really what exactly went down here. We don't know who the elf is, why they're burning down Tel Drassil, how they managed to do so, what kind of battle took place here. All of that is pretty much unknown. It is interesting that an orc like Saurfang is present in this critical moment, since we know that he is very loyal to the Warchief. He's a proud, honorable orc, loyal to the Horde, but definitely up to a certain point. When he believes that someone once again tries to take the Horde down that dark path of the past, he won't follow forever like someone like Nazgrim did. He is capable and willing to pick up arms if it's in the best interest for the Horde, and yet, here we see him standing. Did he try to stop this moment from ever happening? Is there some sort of scheme being set up to make it look like the Horde did it? Is someone trying to manipulate events to have the Alliance and Horde in all-out conflict so that they can profit from it? So many questions. Now fast forward to the moment of the Siege of Lordaeron, where once again we see Saurfang standing with the Horde.
Ours is a cycle of hatred. Alliances forged and broken. We have paid the price for sharing this world. And we have forgotten what makes us strong.
Close ranks! Advance has won! Lordaeron will be ours!
My king, we have her cornered.
Firing!
York veteran is brought to his knees, but Sylvanas is able to rally the troops and in their massive charge out of the city, Anduin and Sourfang end up in battle. The son of the king that told Muradin to step down is knocked off his feet. Greymane then pushes Sourfang away, and Anduin calls on the light to heal the troops, and they continue their battle. Lordaeron will fall to the Alliance, and that's pretty much all that we know right now. Again, we see Sourfang standing with his warchief, this legendary honorable orc, respected on both sides, is fighting at her side. I really, really hope that there's going to be a lot of character developments and a very solid reasoning. Azerite is what reignites the Alliance and Horde conflict. That is to say, there was a bit of conflict within Stormheim, and of course a bit of conflict before all of that, but considering that the conflict was just so underdeveloped during Legion, this seems to be a cataclysmic moment, right? Azerite, everybody's going for it, this seems to be the moment. At this point in time, we have a warchief that doesn't really care about the other races of the Horde. She sees the Forsaken as her bulwark against the Infinite, and she didn't even cheer with the other leaders. What could motivate someone like Sourfang to not join a rebellion like he did during Mr. Pandaria? Which is why I hope that there's going to be a lot of intrigue and betrayal. Perhaps it's Gallywix that sees his moment to make a profit. Perhaps it's Greymane that uses the opportunity to get his vengeance, which then backfires. But wait, there's even more. All of this script was written before Alpha was released, and with it, we learn a couple of juicy tidbits here and there about what Sourfang is doing. Keep in mind that this is either data mine information or Alpha information, so all of this is not set in stone. But it appears that Sourfang, Nephanos, and Sylvanas, they are indeed on their way through Felwood, into Darkshore, preparing to squeeze Malfurion from both sides. I couldn't really find more details on the burning of Tel'Dorei's Hill itself, besides Sylvanas wanted to secure the continent, but at the Siege of Lordaeron, we have Alliance and Horde going at it. Sylvanas has an Azerite machine, a war machine, which appears to be against Sourfang's way of battle, as they say, honor means nothing to a corpse, Sourfang. You have the luxury of underestimating death, but it is something with which I am intimately familiar. Maybe you don't care if your people die, so long as it's honorable, but to me, this Horde is worth saving. Anyone who disagrees does not deserve to stand among us. So die your warrior's death, High Overlord Sourfang. It means little to me. Perhaps I will raise your broken body to serve me once more. Or perhaps you will have a chance to say hello to your son. Again, we're working only with tidbits here, but it appears that Sylvanas will do anything it takes to hold the line against the Alliance, change the way of warfare, and secure the continent for the Horde. Now the question is, does she do that for the Horde or for her own well-being? Time will only tell, I suppose. Sourfang is defeated, demanding an honorable death. Anduin remembers how his father told him that Varrok Sourfang represented what was best of the Horde. Its sense of honor. He admired the orc for it, and so does Anduin. There's no honor in slaying him in that moment, despite Sourfang thinking that that's not for an Alliance king to decide, but he's captured all the same and taken to the stockades. The boy king wants his people to treat Sourfang with the respect that he is due, and when he returns, they'll speak of honor and actions. When you return, we will see, the veteran warrior replies, as I assume that the Alliance goes further with the battle. They try to go after Sylvanas and the rest of the Horde, and while they do win the Siege of Lordaeron, they fail in taking a warchief, as we can see her on the Alpha testing. Sylvanas is located in Gromash Hold, where she sends out heroes to find a vessel containing important information that was en route for Bladefist Bay. The ship has never arrived, and her scouts report that it was seized by the Alliance and then taken to Stormwind. Together with Nephanos, Rokan, Felistra, and Lysandre Skyhorn, we fly into Stormwind to infiltrate stockades and extract the prisoners. These prisoners are Prophet Zul and Princess Talanji of the Zandalari tribe, but we also discover that Sourfang is still alive and imprisoned. Now an in-game cinematic is supposed to play out here, one that's not available quite yet, but Sourfang is not coming back with us. He'll buy us as much time as he can to complete our mission, as he tells our guards to take him to the Boy King, as he would have words with him. During our escape from the city, Felistra believes that the Alliance troops were waiting for us and that we've been compromised, but that's the last to be here of Sourfang for the moment. Now it's very difficult to try and piece together what exactly is happening here, since we're missing a whole lot of pieces of the puzzle. For the moment, to me, it seems like Sourfang does not agree with his warchief's way of warfare, which landed him in prison. To speak of honor and actions, I imagine that that is what the conversation is going to be about. And from Anduin's history, we know that he was often the voice of reason when it came to peace negotiations between the Alliance and the Horde. Will he and Sourfang be a bridge between the factions?
Maybe. I just can't imagine someone like Sourfang actually joining Team Alliance, unless there's something really, really bad going on within the Horde. Now my hope is that at some point, these voices of reason, they're going to have to rise up again, considering that the faction war is not the only threat in this expansion. And another little bit of extra information, a lot of people have recently been asking, what about alternate orcs joining the Alliance? Now, from my point of view, that would be absolutely hilarious if Blizzard actually does that. I would be laughing my ass off, but I personally highly doubt it. The reason for that is that Battle for Azeroth is going to take us back to the Horde-Alliance conflict, right? Considering that the heart of the conflict is humans versus orcs, I would be very, very surprised if the orcs actually join the Alliance. But like I said, it's not impossible, and I would find it hilarious. I'm sure, as more things are going to be data mined and more stuff's revealed during the Alpha Beta, during the Before the Storm novel, we'll get a clearer picture on what's going on and where they want to take him. For now though, this is where we're at with his story. An orc who has seen many battles, had to deal with the shadows of the past, has lost many things so very dear to him, yet always tries to maintain honor and stand for what it means to be part of the Horde.
Honor, young heroes, no matter how dire the battle. Never forsake it.
As always, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for watching, everyone. Subscribe if you like my videos, leave a like if you enjoyed this one, and until next time, guys, see ya!
PvP can bring some pain. When lost, cast a burning rain. Try to get on her high. When down came a rain of fire. I got caught in a burning rain of fire. It came down, 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 and the DPS got higher. And it burns, 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 the rain of fire. Got caught in a burning rain of fire. It came down, 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 and the DPS got higher. And it burns, 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 the rain of fire, the rain of fire. Being flat, is it so neat? When skilled foes you meet, gank some noobs who were soft. But a noobalock got this off. I got caught in a burning rain of fire. It came down, 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 and the DPS got higher. And it burns, 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 the rain of fire. Got caught in a burning rain of fire. It came down, 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 and the DPS got higher. And it burns, 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 the rain of fire. The rain of fire. Burns, 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 the rain of fire.
I'm Hazel. With a new toy collecting meta coming up in BFA, now is a great time to beef up your toy collection. Here are 37 toys that you can just buy off a vendor for gold and where to find them. Most of them are cheap, some of them are expensive, but they're all available for plain old ordinary gold. No rep required. Some of them are class specific, but luckily we live in an age of class trials, which more or less solves that problem. Your first stop should be, shockingly enough, a toy store. There's one in Legion's Dalaran, but you can also get all of this in Stormwind or Orgrimmar. There is a patrolling vendor to find. Black's Bottle Rocket for the Horde patrols up and down the drag, while Craggle Wobble Top for the Alliance patrols around the canal side of the trade district. Make sure that you have the pigskin, the football, the blue crashin' thrashin' racer controller, tiny green ragdoll, tiny blue ragdoll, wind-up train wrecker, toy train set, and the soft foam sword. If you catch him during Children's Week, you will also find balloon toys. Not counting the seasonal stuff, that's 8 toys. In Stormwind, Alliance characters can find Lenny, Fingers, McCoy, and buy Bombay's Color C and Sauce. The toy is account-wide, so even if you're a Horde main, you can get an Alliance class trial or DK to scrape up 200 gold and you're set. That's 9. Next on the list, you'll need a Horde character. Head to the Troll starting area in Durotar and talk to Ravika here to get the Whole Body Shrinka, Senjin Spirit Drum, and Xantish's Flute. We're up to 12 toys. These ones are pretty fun. You can summon some drums, get a bunch of snakes to follow you, shrink yourself down real tiny, and then pretend the giant snakes are gonna getcha. Who said there was nothing to do in WoW? These three are usable by both factions, you just need to be Horde to buy them. Next up, get yourself onto a priest, head out to Light's Hope Chapel in the Eastern Plaguelands and talk to Quartermaster Miranda Breachlock to buy a Thaumaturgist's Orb for 50 gold. That's toy number 13. On a Shadow Priest, that'll give you Shadow Ravens flying around you for 5 minutes. If you're Holy Spec, it'll appear as a swirling light orb instead. Disc will get one of the two randomly. It's usable by priests only, but of course will still count towards your total. Next stop is Ashara, where a player of either faction can visit Tech's Vorticoil here and purchase Kalitha's Haunted Locket. It'll cost you 5,000 gold, but gold comes and goes while your toy count? That's permanent. The locket causes you to take on the appearance of Kalitha the Night Elf Ghost for half an hour. We're up to 14 toys. Next, with a druid character, stop by Moonglade and check in with Lorelei Wintersong here to pick up the Nature's Beacon for 50 gold. Again, class trial characters can be useful here. Using the toy is druid only and teleports you to a natural location at random. Even toys that you can't use count towards your meta achievement total, so they are still worth getting. For the next stop, take a shaman character either out to the Throne of Elements in Outlands Nagrand or to Flamesmith Landing in your class hall to pick up the Water Speaker's Totem, Vol'jin Serpent Totem, the Tadpole Cloud Seeder, and Raging Elemental Stone. Using them is shaman only, but having them is an easy +4 to your toy count. If you cannot see the Water Speaker's Totem, try specking Resto. We're up to 19 new toys. The next ones are a little pricey. In Shattrath City, you can pick up the Noble's Eternal Elementium Signet for 3k and the Eternal Black Diamond Ring for 5k from Harris Pilton found here. Like I said, the gold will come back. That brings us up to 21 toys. The Black Ring actually appears in your character's hand, while the Signet is just a bit of a bullying effect. Unfortunately, you cannot have both active at once. For the next two, bring a mage to Northrend's Dalaran and talk to Endora Moorhead in the Sister Sorceress Shop with at least 550 gold to pick up the Familiar Stone and Dalaran Initiate's Pin. These are limited stock, so if the vendor is out, just try checking back in an hour. That's 23 toys. The next two are either hilarious or really morbid depending on your sense of humor. In the Valley of the Four Winds, stop by Sally Fizzlefury here to buy the Foxicopter Controller and Stackable Stag toys for 1k gold each. She's also an engineering trainer, so it isn't immediately obvious that she's a vendor, which makes her easy to miss. That makes 25 toys. Next on our tour, stop by the main building of a level 3 Draenor garrison to pick up a personal spotlight from Trader Aranda for Alliance or Derek for Horde. If you don't have a level 3 garrison, try to find somebody who does and then visit their garrison. That's toy number 26. We'll find two more toys in that same level 3 garrison. Look for Benjamin Brode patrolling outside to get the Hearthstone board and Winning Hand, which brings us up to 28. Typing /tar Ben and then turning on track targets should help you find him. For toy 29, take a hunter either out to the Nessingwory camp of Shulazar Basin and talk to Martin Thunderhoof, or simply see Outfitter Reynolds in your class hall to buy the Hunter's Call toy. That'll summon a little temporary companion theme to a hunter aspect for 15 seconds on a 30 second cooldown. Over in High Mountain, find Slyhoof the Shameless Shaman here to get the Brolfist Idol. Now, he'll only sell this after the buyer has completed the Unexpected Allies quest, which is pretty deep into the High Mountain questline. If you unlocked Legion Flying, just bring the character that you did that on. That makes toy 30. If you talk to any Stablemaster or Brienne and Dalaran, you can purchase two pet leash toys, the Rope Pet Leash and the Red Ribbon Pet Leash. Target a pet and use the leash for an adorable or weird experience depending on your pet of choice. There's toy 31 and 32. Next, if you haven't already, stop by your heirloom vendor in Ironforge for Alliance and Undercity for Horde to check out the map toys. They are 10k gold each, but there's two of them for each faction, so a total of 4 toys to be had, and learning a book for one faction automatically credits you that book for the other one, so only 20k gold needed. That brings us to 36. Those are expensive, but they're really handy if you level alts. Using them will earn a set of basic flight points right off the bat. Finally, in Legion's Dalaran, Geppetto Joybuzz of the Wonderworks will sell the Dalaran disc for 80 gold. He's also got the basic set of vendor toys, so you can double check and make sure that you didn't miss anything. That makes 37, but there's two more that kinda qualify, so we'll take a quick look at those two. If you take a priest to the underbelly of Legion's Dalaran and find Kravitz Laurent, you can buy the Scarlet Confessional Book for 50 gold. Now, Kravitz is not always available. He's got a roughly 5-hour spawn time, but should stay up for close to an hour once he's up. Check for groups in the custom finder, or just keep checking back. And last, honorable mention to the prismatic bauble from the Mad Merchant. You can just buy it with gold, but one, the merchant needs to be up, which he isn't always, and two, the toy costs 250,000 gold. That's not undoable, but we've got Brontosauruses to be saving up for over here. That's a later me kind of toy splurge. So, those are the easiest vendor toys to get you started. There are tons more easy toys out there, but they might require a little rep or special currency. Thanks for watching, let me know what you think, and have a wonderful, wonderful day. Bye!
Locked in once, locked in twice now. Don't know what I'm playing. Got a feel for the heels, yeah. Or maybe some tanking. I wanna log on and be sure that I'm playing a class that is right for me. I swear I'll stick to this. Used to play my mage back in the day when arcane was the pump. Now I'm sipping tea with paws for feet and I'm permanently drunk. But my hunter sweep with a spirit bee's gonna fall into her trap. Oh, I can't decide which art I wanna play. I'm choosing you. Tell me how many more tunes am I gonna invest in? The dailies I've done, the raids I have run, and all of the odds I've played. I think, I swear, I'll stick to this. Gotta love my luck with a fancy nuts and demons by my side. But my demon hunter got a superpower, cause no one else can glide. And I got a knight that is dead inside, it can turn your heart to ice. Oh, I can't decide which odd I wanna play. I'm choosing you, yeah you. You'll be my number one, I'll play you. And you, look now I'm having fun. If I'm giving all of my Legos and time, I gotta make sure that what I'm playing is right. Yeah right. Too many olds, I'm done. Too many olds, I'm done. Too many olds, I'm done. If I'm giving all of my Legos and time, that what I'm playing is right, yeah right. Too many alts, I'm done. I see my palette and I see my priest so holy and defined. But my roguish heart craves a warrior's stance. I'm an agent of the night. And all the elements and my woodland friends make me feel so good inside. Oh, I can't decide which art I wanna play. I'm choosing you, yeah you. You'll be my number one, I'll play you.
I live!
Well, darlings, that brings us to the end of our episode. Many, many thanks to all of our contributors and musicians who contributed this episode. I certainly do hope that you enjoyed your time with the Forsaken of Corpse Run Radio. Dark Lady, watch over you.
Thank you to the following contributors of episode 39. Noble 87, Cavo 350, Hazel, Charm, and Slightly Impressive. If you want to get in contact with us, if you have a segment of your own that you would like to contribute, which you are very welcome to do, you can tweet us, you can contact us on the emails at copsrunradiomail@gmail.com. You can find us on the Twitters at copsrunradio, and you can find us on Facebook in the Cops Run Radio group. That's been it from me for today. My name is Grant Nagus. Be safe until next time. Dark Lady watch over you. And with that, here with the last segment of the show is Slightly Impressive. Bye everyone.
A great evil threatens our way of life here in Azeroth. We have to do something.
We should form a party of exactly 5 people with special skills in various types of combat.
Why only 5? We could bring 10 or even 25.
No, let's not get carried away here. The evil isn't that great, just great enough for 5 people.
Hey, I'm pretty good with an axe. I'll go.
Seriously? That's the best you can do?
What do you mean? I'm a fearsome warrior.
Oh no, I'm sure you're very good at hitting things with an axe, but like, this lady can shoot lightning from her hands, and this girl can summon demons to fight for her while she burns people to a crisp.
Isn't that kind of evil, though?
Yes, I mean, no, not at all. It's all for the greater good.
Oh, and look, I can turn into animals.
Oh, wow. Why didn't I learn how to do any of those things? All I have is these stupid weapons.
Well, you do at least put poison on them, right? And sneak around in the shadows, since you're clearly at a disadvantage against all these magic users?
No. I pretty much just run in and hit stuff. Oh, I can yell really loud and stomp my feet really hard.
Hey, look what you did to the sidewalk. You're gonna have to pay for that to be repaired.
Oh, sorry. But look, I can also do this really awesome attack where I spin around really fast and hit everything all at once.
Who taught this guy how to fight?
Okay, so I think you probably just need to sit this one out.
No, I can help, I promise. I'm really tough, and I can hold a shield.
So?
So I'll tell you what, I'll just run out there first and start taunting the monsters.
What do you mean, taunting? Like, you'll yell insults at them or something?
Yeah, exactly. So that way they'll be all mad at me, and they'll try to kill me first, and you guys can kill them.
That is the most ridiculous plan I have ever heard.
Hey, you guys know guns have been invented, right?
Thank you for listening. Now go out, my minions. Let nothing stand in your way. Until next time.